everybody. There's a couple things. You know, we sing that song that nothing can stand against God's word. And, you know, build our house on the rock. I mean, really, what do we have other than that to stand on but his word? I mean, we really don't have anything else to stand on. And then we do, we think we got something to stand on. Then we find out quickly that that wasn't very solid ground there. You know, but I want to talk about, and something, man, when Robin was here, something stuck with me. And when she was up here that Sunday, she was preaching on trust in the Lord. And you know how the children of Israel, even though yet they obeyed God, they still didn't believe Him or trust Him when it was time to go take the promised land. And, you know, what she said was that it was a simple choice. You know, and that's awesome. That's really awesome. And it was more awesome is that the Lord's mercies are renewed every day. You know, that's awesome. And, you know, I think this theme this week is I've really looked at that and saying, okay, you know, I might do what I'm told. Well, let's not go there. sometimes. But do I trust Him in the midst of the situations or things that don't? Well, you know, there's times where I absolutely have not. Times I've actually threw up my hands. There's times I've actually said, you know what? Just get the freak out the way, man. You know? But praise God for His grace and His mercy. Amen. Because, you know what? If it's a choice and we have free will, then that's something that anybody can do. You know, you don't have to have an engineering degree to do it. You know what I mean? You don't have to be smart to do that. You don't have to have anything. You just, it's a choice. And then, you know, the freedom of that choice was given by Jesus Christ up there on the cross. So where do we even have the boast of choosing that? None. Before that, bound to the flesh. So all you can do is sit back and say, praise God. You know, I know I was sitting back and reading Psalms, and it's like, you know, the Lord's sitting there saying, you know, what do you have to offer? Your bulls? Your goats? I created all those things. If I would eat, I'd come down and eat. Look, I'm the one that made heaven and earth. You have nothing to offer. But look at this. You call upon me and I will deliver you out of trouble. I love you. That's why I went to the cross for you. Receive it. I want you to receive it. I can't make you though. And you know, that's where the children of Israel fell into unbelief. And I was talking with Tristan this past week and I said, you know what the beautiful thing is? You know, the children of Israel fell in unbelief and did not get the promised land. But guess what, guys? Right now, today, is a day that we have opportunity to not follow after the same example. His mercy is renewed every day. So today, right now, this opportunity, I can choose to trust in the Lord in His sacrifices that He did. That's an awesome thing. That's a great thing. And out of all the things that I've screwed up, made so many bad choices, all these things that are piled up against me make me feel like a jerk face. You know what? I can trust the Lord in that. And all I can do is trust the Lord. And in His grace and His mercy and His sufficiency up there on the cross. That's all the option I got. That's all the option we got. The only thing we can stand on, the only thing we can stand on is His Word. Because what does that song say? Nothing can come against, shall stand against God's Word. Nothing shall stand against God's Word. Now reading a little bit in Psalms, probably his Psalms, I might hit some Colossians, maybe Romans, maybe Colossians, I don't know. We'll see what happens. But I was looking in Psalm and I was going through this with the girls. You know, Riley was reading this and I kind of went with it to him on Monday night a little bit too. And, you know, it seems the theme for me has been to trust the Lord, making that choice. You know, I can't do squat about what I've done, man. You know, I can't do anything about that. I can't do anything about yesterday. But all I can do now is trust the Lord. And that up our opportunities that are before us. And so praise God. And there's promises to trusting in the Lord. There's promises. I'm going to start Psalm 34, verse 1. Probably just hit a few points there, and I want to go to probably Colossians. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. I sought the Lord, and He heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto Him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear Him and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. You know that, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. That, you know what that's saying? That's what that tells me. That's telling me, try Him. Try to trust Him. Really, let it all go and try it and just trust Him. And see for yourselves. Let a testimony come about you of how good the Lord is. Let a testimony of deliverance out of the time of trouble come, and that you may see that the Lord is good and awesome. And we have testimony all before that, where it says, O magnify the Lord. I'm sorry. For I sought the Lord and He heard me and delivered from all my fears. This is what David was writing. He was testifying. The Lord delivered him out of all his fears. Now this is David. What did David do? Committed adultery. Committed murder. And yet he trusted in the Lord, and the Lord delivered him and had mercy on him. We have examples like Samson, who trusted in the Lord, and the Lord had mercy on him. And in his final days, he said, Lord, just give me strength one more time. One more time. And the Lord did. And he killed more Philistines than in his whole entire time in his last, and until his death. These guys didn't. These guys, do you think these guys were sinners? Yes, they were. Do you think these guys were perfect in every way that they did? No. But yet the Lord was with them and had mercy on them. Because it was not about them. was about how awesome the Lord was and who they put their trust in. Oh, fear the Lord, ye His saints, for there is no want to them that fear Him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. That's another promise. Come ye children, hearken unto me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil, and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are upon are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them to do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. But what makes you righteous? Believe on Him who has sent. Believe on Jesus Christ. Abraham believed God and was accounted for righteousness. That's a choice. That's a choice. How do you do good? You trust the Lord. That's all you can do. You can't do really anything unless you can't trust in the Lord and do good, as one of the Psalms says. But you can't do good without trusting the Lord. You don't have a ministry if you're not trusting the Lord. You don't have the right words to tell Him unless you're trusting the Lord. Because it's the Lord that gives you what they need. You don't have it yourself. And that's all we can do. And there's promises in choosing the Lord and trusting Him. A simple choice. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. But the Lord, so there's many afflictions. You believe God. And you walk in the righteousness of God, and that's simply believing Him, that's simply trusting Him. And you believe God, you know what? It says we're going to have afflictions. Doesn't it say in the Gospels, in this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world? If we believe that second part, the tribulation is not going to matter. One, but I want this promise, guys, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. I want to be delivered out of all my troubles. What I got to do? I got to trust the Lord in all that. I got to trust the Lord through that tribulation. I got to trust the Lord through that affliction. I got to trust the Lord and know that He is God. And this is good. And all things work for the good for those that love God and are called according to His purpose. Amen. That's what His Word says. That's what we got to stand on. That's the only thing we got to stand on. He keepeth all His bones. Not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of His servants, and none of them that trust in Him shall be desolate. And none of them that trust in the Lord shall be desolate. That's a promise. Man, who wants that promise? I want that promise. That's a promise. That's something we can hang on to. You know, I was talking with Tristan. You know, he was feeling crap about himself. And I understand. Because I was feeling crap about myself. You know, here we are, two lowly jerk faces walking around. You know. And you know what? I started talking with Tristan about trusting the Lord. About, you know what, we can't do anything about what has happened, man. We can't change that. Gosh. The Lord's a redeemer, though. And He can fix it, because that's just how awesome He is. I mean, you take Hope and I's situation, terribly screwed up, did everything the wrong way, and God flipped it right on Satan's head and glorified him and His goodness. Amen. Flipped it right on over, boy. Only God can do that. But I was talking to church, man, we can't do nothing about what we've done, man. We can't fix it. We can't do anything. All we can do is trust in the Lord and in the sufficiency of His grace. That's it. That's all we can do. And I was telling them about that. And I was telling them, just like I told you guys, you know, the opportunities now. The opportunities today. It's right now. You know, so we can't fix all this. Have we repented yet? That's a change in the mind, man. I don't want to do that no more. That sucks. Now I have to trust the Lord and what He's done. We have to trust the Lord and what He's done. Right, Tristan? And here's what He's done. Let's go to Colossians. If I can find it. I found it. Yes. I cheated and marked it. I should know. Still doesn't mean I find it that easily. You know, it's Colossians chapter 2, and I'm not going to go through the whole thing. But I think I really just want to go from 12, start at 12 here. We start out 11. Well, let's start out 11. All right. In whom also you are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Buried with Him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised Him from the dead. That's Jesus. And you, being dead in your sins and uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses. All trespasses. That means by what He has done, by what God the Father has done, by sending His Son down here on the cross, that we may have that same life that Jesus had. And had forgiven us all our trespasses. And that we don't have to be bound to this flesh and what it wants, which is at enmity with God, anymore. Anymore. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to His cross. All those things that were against us, all those things that would hold us back, all the stuff we had done, the list goes on and on. The list is not big enough for all of us in here. It's just not, I'm telling you. All those things that was against us, that would hold us back, He took out of the way. So it doesn't matter anymore. We're free in Him now. If we receive it. So all those things, you know what? I can't do nothing about that. I can't worry about that. All those things are over with now. Today's a new day. Today's a new day in the Lord. And all those things that would keep me from going forward in the Lord are gone. Because that's how strong His grace is. And having spoiled principalities and powers, He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. All those things that would keep us from serving the Lord, or keep us from growing in the Lord, or keep us from knowing the Lord, has no more dominion over you, over me, over anybody that will receive His holy name. That's the sufficiency of God's grace. But we need to choose to believe it. Us making that choice to trust Him and believe in it is us receiving it. It's there for us. It's us, up to us to go like Jacob and wrestle with that angel, grab onto it, hang on to it. Life or death, man. It's up to us to make that choice to do that. Because I know I have not made that choice to do that. And I'm living outside of that grace when that happens. Or at least there's actually more grace than... there's still grace there that I don't even know about. It just doesn't seem like it is. But us trusting that and believing that, that's us receiving that. And walking in that and knowing that. That's believing the gospel. And moving forward in what He has for us. He's good. It's there for us. It's up to us to actually have faith to believe that and walk out in that. He's not going to do that for you. Like I said, we got our free will. He's given us free will. But I know that the life that He's given us, that is the new man, is far better than the old. The old's going to send you to hell and destruction. The old's about the unbelief like the children of Israel fell into, did not receive the promised land. You know, we're not going to receive that promise of life hereafter if we don't hang on to that and believe Him and trust the Lord. But He has given us life. He has given us peace, and He's given us a new man. Man, let's choose to take on to that thing. Really believe it. Really hang on to it. Grab a hold of it, and let's run with it. Amen.
You know, the mercies being renewed every day is a good thing, because we need it new every day. I'm sitting there thinking before service, which sometimes is dangerous. But, you know, we have a lot of talk nowadays about all kinds of things. There's traffic control, there's border control, there's drug control, all kinds of control. The thing that we're really doing here is mind control. Our minds need to be subject to Jesus. And I'm sitting here thinking about the number of references in Scripture to choose, really, and that's what Phil was talking about. Our free will has been taken out of bondage to sin and death. That's what Jesus purchased for us. So what are you going to do with it? We'll start in 2 Timothy 1:7. God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. Sound mind. Most of us don't fail to serve at grab hold like Philip was talking about and running with. Most people don't fail to do that because the fear of the Lord is going to be mean and ugly, and they fear failing and looking stupid. It's not a fear that is the beginning of wisdom. It's the fear that just freezes them, keeps them from moving, keeps them from doing what they need to do. Let the power, love, and a sound mind. The sound mind is about choosing in the freedom to choose. And I can just throw out a couple of quotes. I'm going to wind up here in Philippians, I believe. A couple of places in Philippians. But 2 Corinthians 10 talks about holding every thought captive to the obedience of Jesus Christ. Wow. That's serious mind control. Mine's not that well controlled. But that's a thing we have to relearn every day. We have to relearn it when we wake up and hope that we have done a decent job of it when we go to bed. But it's a tall order. Because, you know, most of our minds are not well disciplined. And they go wandering off, daydreaming into unprofitable things. In Philippians, and I cleverly changed the page. In Philippians chapter 2, I guess I'm just going to start at verse 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Fulfill me my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, being in agreement, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. Look not every man unto his own things, but every man also on the things of others. All right, now here's two tall orders. Whatever you do, don't make it an item of contention. Don't bring about strife. Don't strut it around and try to put try to puff yourself up with pride. Take care of one another. Look at others. Look out after other people. Look out after other people. Not to look good, but because you love them, you care about them, and you'd want them to do that for you. Simple. It's just a restatement of do unto others as you'd have them do unto you, right? Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. In other words, he knew what he was. but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. He had physical form as a man. The body he was in had a birth date and an expiration date, just like everybody else's body. But he was perfect and entirely God. Entirely. It pleased the Father that in him all the fullness of the Godhead dwelt. I just really screwed up a Colossians verse, but I think I conveyed the point. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things in the earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And that fear is a fear that is the beginning of knowledge. It's a fear of not pleasing the Lord. It's not a fear of what you're going to look like and whether people are going to think you're stupid or not. Or people are going to think you're funny looking. Listen, I already know you. I already know the answer to that one. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And it's a good thing. Because sometimes the working of it is not there. Just not there. Do all things without murmuring and disputings. Again, this is a mind act. This is an attitude of the mind. This is a choice. That you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Be salty. And if you're doing these things, if you're of the same mind, you're going to stand out. As a body, we're going to stand out. I want to move over to Philippians 4. And this is an attitude adjustment again. Start in verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passeth understanding, all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Don't obsess over stupid things that you can't control anyway. This you can do. And this is a protection for you. This one keeps you from becoming embittered. Of waking up one day and with an attitude that's just angry at God. Angry at the people, you know, just because it's the way you are. I mean, that's, if it weren't for the Lord's grace and the mercy and renewing of his mind, renewing of our minds, we're bitter, hateful, mean people. Most of the time, selfish people. And those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. Well, it's a tall order. But the result of that is you can walk with God. The result of that is you're going to be so noticeably different that you're going to be a light in the middle of a crooked and perverse nation. And let's just go to another place that Romans 12. Of course, I have it scattered between two pages, so I'm going to have to go back one. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Your brain's dirty. It needs washing and it needs renewing. It needs renewing. It needs new life. It doesn't work the way God formed it to work until he's renewed it. And you submit it to him for him to renew it. And in this body that's not yours, you purchase with a price. What is a sacrifice? Sacrifice is that animal that got slain and shed blood to cover transgressions, right? That's what he's talking about here with your... Make your bodies a living sacrifice. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Let him do with it what he wants to do with it. Let it be run by the mind that you're putting in subjection to him. That you're becoming into uniformity with the mind of Christ and the body of Christ in the body, that all of you speak the same things. The world, be not conformed to this world. That is our tendency. The world is about the business of conforming us to it. And there are people out there who are really good at it, and they get along a lot better than those who have a conscience or fear God. And it just looks for all the world like there's no catching them, because they're good at it. What I've proven in my life is I wasn't any good at it. It was mercy and grace to me, but I wasn't any good at it. And in the end, you know, Philip wasn't any good at it. Brad wasn't any good at it. That's our testimony. We thought really highly of ourselves, and we thought we could do it. But in the end, we were fooling ourselves. So if you're not being conformed to this world, then you're being transformed to something he can use, to something that's acceptable to him, Because you're made acceptable by Jesus Christ. Not because you were ever worthy of anything. I wasn't worthy of anything. Except for death. And boy, my mind shot back to Philippians briefly. We were in chapter 2, verse 8 there. Being found in a fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death of the cross. Now, significance of that phrase is the death of a cross was reserved for criminals. He was crucified like a common criminal. It says in Hebrews, I better go there because I'm about to tear up another one. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. The shame was he was treated as a criminal. And he was wholly and completely innocent. But now he sat down at the right hand of the Father. Whether or not your mind is being renewed and you're being transformed by it, it's a choice you make. It's a choice you can make because Jesus chose to be faithful unto the cross. Because you needed it. Because I needed it. And we could have hung on the cross, but we still had the sin. What are we going to do about it? That's right. That's right. Just got what we deserved. He was blameless. I believe Luke recounts the conversation between him and the thief, where the thief realized he was dealing with somebody who was blameless. And Jesus showed mercy and told him he'd be with him today in paradise. How sweet is that? Because they were just getting what they deserved. But even hanging there and bleeding for us, he showed mercy to that thief. The last thing I want to say is, you know, what we were reading in Colossians, and I'm going to go there. It says, we didn't actually read it, but it says, that verse 2:14, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. You know how it got blotted out? It was nailed to the cross. It got covered in blood. It got all smeared up, and you couldn't read the charges anymore, so case dismissed. You know, the Lord loves you. And he's made a way when there was no way. But I can't do it for you. Philip can't do it for you. Brad can't do it for you. If you want not fear, but love, power, and a sound mind, The way to get it is by submitting to the rule of the Lord. By choosing to have your mind transformed, because it's broken. Choose to have your mind transformed. And it'll, you know, tell Lord, hey, Lord, come and fix this mess. He will. He's faithful. He's just. He's righteous. And His Word says He will not depart from us. He doesn't leave us. Doesn't walk away when we needed us, but when we needed Him most. He's always there. He's just received. God bless everybody. Have a great week.